Good afternoon. Welcome to our meeting. It's 1:30 p.m. on October 7th, 2024, and time to reconvene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan, President of the Commission. Joining me today are Commissioner Tony Wolf, our Vice President, Commissioner Rebecca Wolf, our Secretary, Scott Jones, our Chief Financial Officer, Colin Wilbrock, our General Counsel, Allison Morrison, Clerk of the Board, and Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board, and Morgan Stoltz, our Deputy Clerk of the Board. You turn off or mute your cell phone or other recording devices at this time. Copies of the agenda are located on the deputy clerk's table near the entrance. Are there any items to be added or changes to make to the public's agenda?
Labor news. Yes. The material estimate on the RFQ number 24-1477-CS. Liquid and relay control and metering panels.
Commissioner, it's right here on this.
Item 04B.02 at places amended page one bid awards professional services contracts and amendments.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Comments from the public is item three on today's agenda, and that's when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes. The person shall be recognized to speak when the sign-up card located at the deputy clerk's desk and the entrance. If joining by Zoom, click raise hand or dial *99 if by phone. I will call on you to speak at the appropriate time. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use the microphone, state to spell your name, and indicate where you are from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioner and the rest of the audience. If you have documents for the material standard of the records, please hand them to the deputy clerk who will distribute them to the board. We appreciate your cooperation with our procedures. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This assures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. So we'll start off with the flag salute.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next is item two, recognition declaration. We have 2A. Our team of the month for October, the outreach communication team. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay, we have Shauna Bowden here to introduce the outreach communication team. Thank you, Shauna.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm Shauna Bozer, Senior Manager in Customer Experience, and I'm honored to share our outreach communication team as October team of the month. The outreach communication team is a cross-divisional team consisting of Pam Haldy, who is unable to make it today. I made them all sit in the front room. Nick Pison from Customer and Energy Services, along with IT counterparts Andy Coughlin, Brian Foley, and Jeremy Babcock, all are being honored for their efforts to improve our customers' outage experience. From upgrades, including an ability for customers to opt in to text alerts that provide updates throughout outages, a corporate communications broadcast messaging tool to provide real-time updates and restoration information to targeted specific regions or incidents, and updates to our internal systems allowing CSRs insight onto what the customers are seeing on social media and other communications channels. Upgrading our outage communication has been in the plans for some time. After the 2022-2023 storm season, which saw a strong storm knock out power to over half of our customers, it became apparent that improvements to our outage map needed to become a priority. Over the next year, the team came together working with several departments to implement improvements that help our customers during an outage. The addition of the opt-in text alert process gives us the ability to inform customers that we are aware of their outage, details about the cause, when the crew is dispatched, and when we estimate power will be restored. Initial feedback from customers has been overwhelmingly positive, and the team continues to seek feedback after outages with a brief survey once the power is back on. These surveys have yielded high praise from our for the district, and a few of the recent comments include, quote, this outage alert system is fantastic. I know y'all are busy. They might be from the south, especially when it rains or when it storms, but being able to report it and have the peace of mind that knowing that y'all are coming out is incredible. All of your workers have done and continue to do fantastic work. I am so thankful. Another, I am wheelchair bound and having this helps greatly to relieve my anxiety about not having power for my power wheelchair. Thank you. And then the outage alerts are extremely helpful. The responsiveness to diagnosing the problem and restoring power to your customers was excellent. Thank you, Snohomish County PUD. Because of the work of this team, the district was recently awarded the Chartwell's Bronze Outage Communications Award for the new outage alert system. According to Chartwell, the district's outage map upgrades, quote, offer an in-house solution that integrates Chartwell's best practices and meets customers where they are. This year's winners showed a level of creativity and innovation that will inspire other utilities. With high trust, initiative, and strong work ethic, the outage communication team truly sets themselves apart. I'm going to pass to Jason Brest to share some additional praise for this great team.
Thank you, Shauna. Hello, commissioners. I am Jason Brus, ITS Application Manager. And I just wanted to share a few more things with what Shauna already shared with you. So this team and the work that they have accomplished, they make me very proud to work at the district. They really define what it means to be a team with a remarkable collaboration, developing solutions that meet our customers' needs. Their commitment to continually reviewing customer feedback and enhancing the services to provide an outstanding customer experience is truly impressive. Studies indicate that our customers spend anywhere from 8 to 114 minutes per year thinking about their utility services. Given that there are 525,000 minutes in a year, that means that the average customer thinks about us 0.02%. I'd be willing to bet that that number goes up pretty much when there's an outage. So outages present us with this unique opportunity to demonstrate our commitment to customers by providing them with critical information about their power and estimates to when it will be restored. This enables our customers to plan their next steps effectively. I'm truly proud of the accomplishments of this group and want to extend my heartfelt thanks for their incredible work. Great job, everyone.
Okay, who is coming up? Oh, please, for
join it.
You don't want to be alone here.
Will I start?
Sure.
All right. Andy Coughlin.
Hi.
Congratulations. Thank you. Yeah.
Brian, thank you and congratulations.
And I have Nick and Jeremy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I have glamour photos. First, I want to say thank you so much for the work you do. You guys are incredible ambassadors for this organization to our community. That outage map, people tell me, oh, you know, it has a new feature. So this is amazing. When I got on the commission, I thought most people think of us as a bill they get once a month. Well, they think of us as a bill, but they also think of the outage map and they love it and use it. And the new features, it really makes a difference. So thank you so much. So here is, I'll hold the photo up. Everyone can see it.
Oh, thanks.
Yep. Cool. And then, unfortunately, I think Tony's got a whole list of questions to ask you.
Oh, no, that's
just a few. My old operations brain was. This is a tool that it said that it primarily was to enhance corporate communications ability respond. Can you describe for me what does CorpCom see that is an enhancement from what they see today? Can you do it in like 1 minute?
Yeah. So a piece of what we implemented was the broadcast messaging ability. And that's for CorpCom. We were able to go in and select a part of the region or the entire region, depending on what how much they want to target our customers, and give them specific updates about their their area and the outages in their area. Instead of just status.
Well, and to all channels. So that you would see that on the outage map. If you were getting texts, you would get a text about it. And if you called into the IVR, you would also hear it on the IVR too.
Oh, I'm a customer service rep. What enhancement does this do for me?
So just as Brian said, so with the outage communication tool in the past, you know, we were putting stuff out on social media, Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah.
Now the representatives will be able to go in and have one spot where they can go and see exactly what's being sent out to the customers. So makes it so everybody's on the same page.
So I think you've already answered my question on, I'm a customer. How has this enhanced my mood when the power's out? Made me feel, but I think you've already answered that. I've just been, what I didn't understand, and now you've explained it to me, was it can be service area wide, but also broken down into a regional alert and an individual incident.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, so specific outage.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, that is phenomenal. So what's on the drawing board now?
Well, now we are going to do proactive outage communication. So that means if somebody just wants to sign up, they'll be able to get any outage when it occurs to them.
Oh.
And they'll also be able to get the benefit of these broadcast messages for specific towns or cities or whatever else. That's coming.
So if they're out of town,
they know that
the power's out at their house, and maybe get someone to check on it.
They can tell the kids to go empty the fridge.
There you go. We haven't already.
Yeah.
I just have a comment. Yeah. I think from the consumer's point of view, nothing matters more than this and their bills, but... This is critically important, and so really value all your smarts and what you do make it happen.
Thank you very much.
So it's open mic. You, any of the four of you, want to say something?
Yeah,
and you don't have to.
We just want to thank Pam Haldy for leading us through this effort, these efforts as well. She couldn't be here today, but she's an invaluable member of the team.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Here's the big picture. I don't know where that goes.
Yes, you have some.
It's cross applesauce.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. I don't know if it's true. Anyway, thank you.
I want to know where all this data comes from. Mm.
That's a harder one to explain.
Just thought I could
the cloud.
All right. Well, next is item three, comments from the public. Are there any comments from the public on items not on today's agenda? I'm not seeing any hands raised in the room, and I'm not seeing any online. Move on to item four, our consent agenda. We need to vote on this resolution, don't we?
We don't, but
okay.
There shouldn't have been a motion in there.
Okay, that's what's confused me. Thank you. 4A, approval of the minutes of the regular meeting September 17, 2024. 4B, bid award professional service contract amendments. And 4C, consideration of certification slash ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Are there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda? If so, please raise your hand. I'm not seeing any. Are there any questions or comments from your commissioners?
No.
Now, call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next is public hearing 5A, opening the 2024 proposed budget hearing. I will convene the public hearing on the 2025 proposed budget. And I'll introduce Scott Jones, who will introduce the presentation and discussion.
Thank you, Commissioner Logan. I'm going to introduce Andrea Verdeaux. She's one of our budget folks, a budget analyst that works with Sarah Bond. I think Sarah is joining us online. Sarah was traveling today, so she's not here to do the presentation. So, and I'm sitting over here filling in, which means Andrea drew the short straw. So she's going to work through the presentation today, and Sarah and I will jump in and help along the way. There's a couple of things I want to comment as we get to the slides. So we'll let Andrew keep it off. Welcome, Andrew.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, commissioners. Andrea Bordeaux, your business operations coordinator, and I was just there in the budget office and I stopped then.
Andrew, if you move a little closer to the microphone. Sorry.
Sarah's not able to be here today. She's traveling, so I am here to introduce the 2025 budget. Today is the first of four public budget hearings on the 2025 proposed budget. Today is for information only and discussion, no approval or action required. Some electric system highlights: the PUD, along with other peer utilities, continue to experience financial challenges due to rising power costs, increasing operational expenses, and inflationary pressures. The 2025 proposed budget and five-year forecast were put together with the goal of maintaining financial stability through cost management, debt issuance, and reasonable general rate increase. The financial pressures you see on here are the same that we have seen in the past and continue to impact our budget going into 2025. Oh my goodness. I don't know. Things such as supply chain, power market, the labor pipeline, our generation and water supply, along with climate impacts and things such as storms. On the right hand side, you will see, it will stop after this. On the right hand side, you'll see the utilities and their proposed rate increases over the next couple of years. You can see that they are trending higher and with larger multi-year rate increases, while we tend to trend underneath those with our cost management and project prioritization strategies. This slide is relatively new. This is on our reserve. This is a look over the last year. You can see the orange line is our historical 120-day look. You can see the impact of the market purchases in November of 23 and February of 24. We kind of have maintained throughout 24, and it's something that we keep our eye on pretty closely every month. August had positive receipts, and this says that we are going to be below reserves at the end of the year, but we actually project that we'll be in a good position.
Andrew, I wonder if we should pause back here. And Allison, do you think there's a remedy to this? Should we start it over again? Okay, let's wait just a moment. And now, of course, now it's
fine. Now it will be normal.
Yeah.
It will be fine.
One thing about that slide that Andrea just noted, there's a note at the top about that's the trend line for the old 120 days. If you'll remember, we just went through a tweak on our new reserve targets. So it'll look a little different going forward when we layer in these calculations and stuff. Either way, we had two winters that created a deficit regardless of which calculation you use. They were unfortunate two winters.
I think their note on that slide was, I think that August is higher than as opposed to a low blue.
And Lauren is here. She tracks our trend lines on a lot of historical information for the inflows and outflows by month. And we kind of look at that to see if it matches up with historical trends. She's quick to tell us whether we're on track or not.
Back in business? Yeah. Give it a go.
I'm not sure that's going to work. I think it makes
sense. Okay. So if it doesn't, we can just log and run it from. Okay. That sounds good. How do we balance our budget? First and foremost, we have our long-term financial goals, which are providing adequate funding support, safety and reliability, ensure reasonable rate increases, and adequate reserve and debt service coverage levels, and of course support the district's long-term strategic priorities. Within those long-term financial goals, we have our three financial strategies. You hear from Scott these three things often: cost management, bond and other financing opportunities, and our rate strategy. And when we created our 25 proposed budget, we used all three of these strategies. We did a reduction of approximately $24 million off of what was initially requested. We anticipate issuing $185 million in bonds. Part of that is new debt, and part of it will be a refinancing of existing debt. And then we're suggesting a 4.6 general rate increase effective April 1st, 2025.
Yeah, a couple of comments here, and I actually think that 185 is all 2025 capital projects. There's refinancing that would sit on top of that, and which we're evaluating. So the bond issue that we're looking at next year could be particularly large if we announce on some refinancing opportunity in addition to this assumption about capital project spend. I want to make a couple of quick comments on the 4.6. When we first looked at the 2025 budget and got our initial submissions from the divisions and departments, we were assuming a 5.8% general rate increase. That was the very first version that we had. And that was the number we were shooting for when we went in and started doing those cost reductions. In fact, we probably needed something higher than that. We were doing some cost reductions to really get us to the 5.8%. We came back, and this is a series of meetings with our executive team. We came back and met again and decided to pull it back even further to a 5.3%. And what we were prepared to present to you as of 2 or 3 weeks ago was a 5.3% rate increase recommendation. The last piece that was layered into this was the change in our assumptions for load following. And once we layered in the load following contract change, which only impacts the last 3 months of next year, and then it impacts the rest of the forecast, you'll see later this fall, before you do a final approval, we'll be showing the 5-year forecast. But the load following transition had a pretty positive impact on our 5-year forecast, and it had a somewhat positive impact, noteworthy positive impact on 2025. So as we went into that fourth quarter and transitioned to load following for next year, the market activity, in particular market purchases, dropped a lot. And so that pulled us from a 5.3 on further down to 4.6. So that number has moved down quite a bit. I think if you had asked us in probably July or early August, we would have said we're probably in the high fives. Now, you know, we're thankfully, and a lot of that is John challenging us to try to do everything we can to keep pushing that number down as much as we can. And certainly getting it underneath some numbers from our peers, which Andrea showed in that previous slide, was helpful as well. But a lot of shout out to the executive team and a lot of the other leaders around the organization and the divisions and departments who had to make some very tough decisions that a lot of them, you know, really struggle with, because there's things they really want to do and things that they're passionate about. And we have to make some pretty tough decisions there. So our side appreciates a lot of that collaboration very much, because it's a tough process to go through.
Well, I appreciate the so much work into it. I anticipated it would be five or more myself, so needs to see it's less.
Well, Sarah and I and Andrew probably would have predicted more like six or seven in the spring. It continued to trend down a little bit to something at least more appetizing. I'm not suggesting that it's comfortable for anyone, of course, but we're still continuing to stay underneath our peers, stay underneath what I would call a longer-term inflationary trend.
Yeah, it'll be interesting too to see if load following takes out some of the surprises.
It does. I can tell you based on layering into our fiber forecast, which you'll see eventually, but it does reduce a bit of that volatility risk for sure. And it eased a bit of pressure on rates in the out years.
No questions.
I do. This has been a general rate increase. Mm-hmm. It doesn't factor in potential for a bulk provider rate increase.
So two comments. And we are not anticipating a BPA rate increase this year, but we are anticipating one next year. We typically layer those in odd years. And so in the five-year forecast, we do have, I say this year, 2024, we do have one assumed, I think, for late 2025. But in 2025 and 2027, the numbers are smaller. They're under 3%. The good news with those is, if they creep up or down, it's a little bit more of a pass-through based on the way we handle it. So, the incoming revenue and the outgoing cost of BPA, we'll try to match those up as much as we can. The second thing I'll mention really quickly is this is a general rate increase. Remember, we've got multiple rate classes. One of the things we're trying to do this year, which we haven't done in the past, is as you get ready to approve this budget in December, we'll give you an earlier preview of how that 4.6 breaks into the rate classes. We normally do that after the fact, and we'll do our part, and then the rate team comes in and does the breakdown. We're going to try to do that a little earlier so you get a little bit more visibility on what that looks like.
All right.
The district has three separate budgets. We have the electric, generation, and water system. Developing these budgets is a year-long company-wide effort, and we pulled together many pieces, such as the IRP, the load forecast, capital planning on the D&E side, and the water system rate model. When we put all those pieces together, this is where we propose 2025 to be. Operating revenues for the electric and water system are higher than they were in 2024. Operating expenditures for the electric system were slightly lower than 24, while generation and water are slightly higher. Use of bond proceeds, we're anticipating spending $84 million in bond proceeds for the electric system and $8 million on the water system. A couple of slides are kind of things that we're funding in our budget. Our mission, of course, is to deliver affordable power and water to our customers. Funding our assistance, we have $8.5 million in the budget for bill assistance, and we also have the Community Energy Fund, formerly known as Project Pride. Customers and employees are able to make donations to that to help customers. No budget impact for the Community Energy Fund, but a good one to have.
Mr. Pena, I do have a question on a previous slide. Sorry, I wasn't on the top of it. On slide number six, proposed budget, there's a bond issue, consideration of a bond issue for $185 million, correct? Then on the next page for the electric system, anticipated use of that $84 million. Is that correct?
Yeah, so you'll remember when we do a bond placement, we've got typically 3 years to spend our money down if we do a traditional tax-exempt borrowing. And so the bonding number will be one thing. The use of proceeds will be a different number. If we did a if we do a bonding, you know, a placement every 3 or 4 years, then you'd see somewhere around a third of it might be used. Sometimes it's front loaded based on spending for projects. So there's a little bit of an assumption that goes into how that money is going to be spent. So we might do that $185 million borrowing. And if that project gets delayed a little bit, maybe the spending is a little lower in year one and it picks up in year two and three. And sometimes it can get sped up a little bit. Yeah.
I just
want
to clarify that for myself.
Okay. And more than likely, part of that $84 million is not just that new financing. It's potentially left over from previous financing, okay, too. So it could be an
awesome budget. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
That helps. We have $70 million we're expecting from the 2025 bonds use, and then $14 million from 22.
Yeah.
Oh, you bring all 20.
From the 22 issuance, yeah. $8 million for water is from their 22 bonds also. Funding our reliability. Our operating and maintenance budget for 2025 is $297 million. We have a growing number of assets across the district that need to be inspected, replaced, and maintained every year. And here's just, you know, a highlight of some pretty common items that you see on our service territory, and we'll see through all of them, but a growing number of assets out there. Funding our environment, we have $18.2 million in energy efficiency incentives. These are designed to help customers use less energy, lower their power bills, and help our purchase power costs. We also use some of these funds for other initiatives to help minimize environmental impact. Funding our power. Power is our most expensive, our biggest expense in the budget at $373 million. It includes our BPA contract and our own power generation. As you know, most of our power comes from the Bonneville Power Association, and that comes at a cost of $260 million, which also includes our switch to load following that starts in October of 2025. Our five hydroelectric projects are budgeted at $23.6 million. And we have our market power purchases at $51 million, which is a reduction from 2024 just due to that switch and load following.
But that's going to go down in the future, is it not?
Yes.
Because we're kind of giving Bonneville a present in terms of their assuming rules.
Yeah, I mean, that bullet, that's, you know, that's a, it's a big number, but it would have been a lot bigger if we not switched. You know, it's already a reduction from the 2024 levels. That would have been a lot higher.
Funding our future. We have a really robust capital project for 2025 at $220 million. And this is to fund, to help ensure that we're ready for our future energy demands, new technologies, and customer growth. And we've just highlighted a few of the bigger pieces of that capital project, the infrastructure investments, building some new substations, investments in the wood pole and underground cable replacement programs. That's coming in at a cost of $56.3 million. Net debt, we have at $29 million. Most of that is primarily bond funded. And then we have the Snow Smart project that will be up and running next year. We have that at $12.9 million, which is partially funded by grant revenues from the Department of Energy.
Does anyone have an idea of how much of this funding will be work that we're going to be doing with our employees?
You're talking about Snow Smart?
Just the $220 million in capital.
Oh, the overall $220?
Yeah.
I'd say the bulk of it, but
okay.
Do you agree?
Well, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the snow, isn't the snow smart.
Yep.
In total, like $3 million for the grant we're getting in our matches, something like that.
72.6, okay. I think, is the number.
Over the number getting, period of year.
We're getting about 30-something back on DOE. Okay. In fact, that contract renewal, I think, is later in the agenda today.
Yes, it is. That's why.
Yeah. When we submitted it, Kim and others that worked on this, when they submitted it, we submitted it as around a $60 million project. There's been a little bit of additions as we refined it, but the reimbursement component of it will still be the same. So, you know, we can expand a little bit of that project when we, you know, if we see opportunities of doing that, which we have.
You know, and the reason I ask about how much you convert to it is, you know, when you look at the bid reports, for years we were consistently, the estimate was very close to all the bids. And then we went through a while, but the bids were just coming in way higher than the estimates. Now we're sort of the other place. The estimates are often quite a bit higher than the bids. And then now it seems a little more recently they're sort of matched. And this makes me wonder, you know, our crystal ball of ability to predict what, you know, outside vendors are going to charge us to do work. So it's great to hear that we have a lot of control over that capital.
Yeah, I mean, there's still estimates there just because, you know, when we've got a project coming in, we're still trying to make estimates about people usage and equipment prices, and we've got to order all those things. So as I've said many times before, I don't know much, but I know we'll be wrong. It's just the degree to which we're wrong. I think we continue to get better and better at it.
Some of it has to do with circumstances. You know, you get to the point of bidding and the market.
Yes.
Could be markedly different than when you identified a estimate. It has nothing to do with what we've done. It has to do with availability of contractors. And
100% agree. And in fact, the market, the a lot of times bids will track after, you know, what our estimates are. So we'll have our estimates very fine, it's really cool. You know, the bids will be more refined based on today's market prices. So certainly it's always a little ebb and flow.
Finding our vision, as the strategic plan was implemented in 2023, it continues to mature today. It's driving a holistic approach to how we view our budgeting and how we look at our project prioritization. This year, we kind of revamped our budget meetings from department and division to we just all got together and looked at everything as a whole and prioritized our projects that way. So it's a little bit different of a approach this year. So.
Yeah.
Describe what that means.
Yeah, so Andrea brings up a really important point. In the past, we have done, when I got here, we were doing departmental and division level budget presentations within the executive team. We would spend days, hours, and days going on a by department, by division basis. We've tried to simplify that a bit over the last few years. And then this year, instead of doing a divisional look, so, you know, the COO's division, the, you know, Chief Customer Officer Division. We tried to put more of a comprehensive look of big projects all in one place and kind of look at them. It's one of the things that we're really working hard on is trying to look at the budget and look at project prioritization from a highest and best use of resources and dollars for the PUD, not highest and best use within your division. It's hard because, you know, we've got a lot of learned history here and, you know, people owning departments and divisions. And so there's nothing wrong with the way we've done it in the past, but we're trying to kind of take that prioritization to the next level. And Christy and some of the folks, Serena on our team and Doris Payne on Christy's team, Christy's been leading an effort on enterprise project governance prioritization, where we're trying to look at those projects across the whole district and come up with what the best use is. And the other quick thing I'd mention here is when we got back together and tried to talk about where those cost containment opportunities were, we used the strategy in many cases. Okay, well, this is an effort that's supporting, you know, strategic initiative 2.6. We need to get support behind this. And so the beauty of having that process that Kim and Laura Lemke and the executive team went through on strategy is it now can help us determine some of those prioritizations. We've lock down the strategy. We will prioritize what those initiatives are. Now we can start talking about how we prioritize work. Pretty valuable process.
This is phenomenal. It's taken 30 years.
Thank you, Christy. All it took is Christy Sterling.
But you know, not trying, not doing the prioritization in silos.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be correct.
I agree, and it's very, very hard. I can't stress this enough. It's there's a lot of institutional momentum. So getting companies off of that, whether it's us or anybody else, getting companies off of those sort of historical way you look at that stuff is tough. But we're trying, and it's a working process. But I think we made some really good progress.
I admire you for tackling it.
Thank you for doing it. Thanks, Chris.
On the generation system, some budget highlights for them. The power that's generated by the generation system is purchased by the electric system to serve our customers. Their primary focus going into 2025 is to continue long-term strategic planning for their generation system, habitat stability, and reliability. Their operating and maintenance budget is $13 million. And then we have a capital budget of $4.5 million, which includes projects such as the Jackson Switchyard redesign and some general plant improvements. But not least, the water system. Very similar to the electric system, they continue to face the same challenges, rising inflation, supply chain, and then City of Everett wholesale rate increases. City of Everett anticipates approving a 12% wholesale rate increase effective January 1, 2025. We are requesting an 8.25 general rate increase effective March 1, 2025. This is still subject to public hearing and board approval. The capital plan for the water system is $14.6 million, includes main extensions, construction of a new reservoir and kayak, and the continuation of the water AMI conversion. And as mentioned before, they plan to use $8 million of their 2022 bonds to help fund some of their capital projects.
Are we going out for bonds in 25 for the water system? No. Well, I got too many questions. So yes or no, you'll figure it out.
Maybe. It's still being reviewed.
Yeah, sometimes piggybacks on the conversation we're having earlier. Sometimes it depends on how the market, and also how the spend is slotted in. You can have a capital project that's late in the year, still in 3 years. Sometimes we'll time bond offerings and debt offerings for, you know, when those expenditures are timed out. And definitely, although Lauren guarantees that interest rates are going down. So. Yeah,
that 8.25% is a big number. Not as big as 12%. So.
It is. Jeff and Christina can jump in here if they want to. There's a bit of need here, would be the simple way I would say it. I think, you know, a lot of businesses would go a long period of time and have a pretty tight belt, and then at some point you hit a moment where you kind of have to do a stair step. You know, I think the water's probably getting that kind of.
And we'll do it with AMI too.
Yeah.
Is that 12% definite?
No.
Because they anticipate, but
yeah,
about public pressure.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean,
I think it would be December.
Yeah, good afternoon. Jeff Kallstrom, Chief Water Operations Officer. So you're correct, it's not definite, but given our relationship with the City of Everett, Christina and her team stay in really close contact. And so we fully expect that 12% to realize. And in fact, we're sort of bracing ourselves, given recent news stories and things like that, that their potential might be there for it to be a little bit higher. And so the city of Everett as a whole, I mean, the water utility and the city are separate, but the city of Everett as a whole is having difficulties. And so we have some fear that may flow into the water utility in some way or another. So we're watching that very closely.
So how do we make up the gap between 12 and 8 and 4?
So the 12 is the increase that the city of Everett itself proposes. But when it translates to us, we will see of that 12% around a 2.5% actual impact on our rates. So it comes through as our purchased water cost, and that's just a single component of our overall budget. So it'll have, so the direct rate impact for us of 12% is about 2.5.
Similar to the BPA, on the electric side, it's the general rate increase and the BPA increase. For water, it's a general rate increase and a city of Everett increase. You can think about it in that kind of way.
Yeah.
Two different pieces.
I'd love to know why it is increasing that much for Everett. I mean, it's not our issue, but as a member of the county.
Yeah.
And, I know a lot of people who live in Everett. And so that's wholesale. So what about the retail rates for people in Everett? Is that they're going to be?
I haven't seen what the city of Everett is planning or heard what the city of Everett is planning to do with their retail rates, the people who are connected to their system. I have not seen that, but I would expect it to be similar. And what we're seeing in the water industry is large rate increases throughout all utilities. City of Snohomish, all of the regional utilities are having large, anywhere from 5 to 15% rate increases. So there are a lot of cost pressures on water utilities. And as a general matter, we have aging, there's aging infrastructure, it's in-ground infrastructure, so it's very expensive to replace. Those things combined with inflationary costs, that sort of thing, is really kind of driving up, as Scott said, kind of hitting a moment in time where there's a need for increased funding. We're sort of seeing it throughout the region. So it's not, the city of Everett is higher than normal, but it's not that far unusual compared to what a lot of regional water utilities are
seeing. It has mostly to do with aging infrastructure.
Our understanding is it's their infrastructure, some capital projects they have going as well.
Thank you.
Here's a look at all three of our proposed budgets for 2025. In your packet was the 2025 proposed budget book that does comparisons from the approved 2024 budget to 2025. And we'll also go into more detail on all of these numbers in our upcoming meetings. The remainder of our public hearing schedule, we'll be back on November 5th to continue the public hearing. We'll go into more detail on all three systems. We'll come back on November 19th and we'll bring the five-year forecast and any proposed changes. And then we'll request approval of the budget at the December 3rd meeting.
I'll see if there's any comments from the public on the proposed budget. So please raise your hand. Any online things in the room? Any more additional questions or comments, Commissioner?
Yeah, thank you. Just a comment, and I was looking on, I think this is on our PUD website now, right?
I'm not sure if the proposed budget book is on there, but okay. We could definitely post it. Yeah.
Well, it would be a part, it would certainly be in the commission.
It's in the packet for sure. Yep.
Right. Yeah.
So it's publicly available. But
in part of years it has
been. I can check with CorpCom to make sure that they get it posted.
The question I have is, are we doing paper copies anymore?
We'll just do paper of the final. If you would want a paper of the proposed,
I would like one. You know, commissioners, it's easier. I want to read the whole thing and it's easier too.
Yeah. To read the whole thing?
Yes.
We'll get
I
those.
I want to get to the staff first. Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Logan, before we move on, I get the boss's privilege of embarrassing Andrew saying that Today was her first presentation in front of the commission. And she the park. So normally, you know, we get the benefit of embarrassing people as much as possible when you have a chance. Andrea did a wonderful job. Sarah's traveling today, and I was going to do the presentation, and then John had a conflict, so I said, well, it's going to be you. And but she stepped up and did it. So anyway, I want to do a quick kudos to Andrea. We're very, very lucky to have her.
Well, thank you, Andrea.
I appreciate it. And right. Even with technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Right. That was for your first time.
Well, she's probably seen that Scott tends to give people a little bit of a hard time. Recently, you've given a friend of mine a hard time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And raised. And raised. So,
yeah, I was admiring how cool you were, calm and collected. I didn't know it was your first time to present, but talented folks.
Yes.
Kudos. We're so darn lucky.
Very lucky.
Kudos.
Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah.
All right. I will call for a motion to continue the public hearing on the 2025 proposed budgets.
I'm reading that. I'm sorry. I'm really off today. I move the public hearing on the 2025 proposed budget be continued to Tuesday, November 5th, 2024, 1:30 p.m. at 2320 California Street in Everett.
Thank you. I'll call for a motion. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Next, it's 5B, public hearing to approve increased fees payable by licensee of space on district utility poles. I'll now convene a public hearing on approving increased fees payable on licensees of space on district utility poles. Felicia Ng is here to be able to answer any questions and provide the presentation that we saw at our last meeting if needed. Are there any comments from the public regarding the increased fees payable by licensee of space on district utility poles? Not seen any online or in the room. Commissioner, do you have any questions or comments or any need to see the parts of the presentation over again?
I have none. The briefing last time was very thorough.
It was. Okay. So I'll call for a motion to continue the public hearing on approving increased fees payable by a licensee of space on district utility poles.
I move the public hearing on approving increased fees payable by licensees of space on district utility poles to be continued to Tuesday, October 22nd, 2024, 1:30 p.m. at 2320 California Street in Everett.
We'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried unanimously. Next, item six, public hearing in action. 6A, consideration of a resolution authorizing the manager of real estate services to execute an agreement to grant easements, easement agreement, and temporary construction easement with the Port of Everett to facilitate construction, operation, and maintenance of district electric utility infrastructure necessary to provide electricity to Hat Island. I'll call for a motion. Okay, I will now convene a public hearing. Emily Barnes here. Bill, answer any questions and provide the previous presentation if necessary. Well, first, are there any comments or questions from the public regarding the resolution? Please raise your hand. Not seeing any in the room or online. All right, commissioners, do you have any questions or comments?
I have none.
Okay. Then either I'll close the public hearing and I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Next, item seven, items for individual consideration. 7A, consideration of a resolution authorizing the CEO, general manager, or designee to execute a U.S. Department of Energy Assistance Agreement, DE/GD/0000905, the Public Utility District Number 1 of Snohomish County for Bipartisan Infrastructure Bill, BIL. Snohomish County's PUD Secure Modern Automated and Reliable Technology Project, SnowSmart. I'll call for a motion.
Move approval.
Kevin Lavery here to be able to answer any questions regarding the resolution. Are there any comments from the public regarding the resolution? Please raise your hand. See any? Commissioners, do you have any questions or comments?
No, this is great.
It's a great project. I'm really glad. Kudos again to the whole group that put together the proposal and appears this funding. Pretty huge for our customers. Okay. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Next, 7B, consideration of resolution amending Section 2, General Terms, Conditions, and Policy for Water Service of the District's Water Service Policies and Procedures Manual to add a discretionary purchase water cost adjustment clause. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
The Christina aren't here available to answer any questions regarding the resolution. Are there any comments from the public regarding the resolution? Please raise your hand. No hands raised. Commissioners, do you have any questions or comments?
I do not.
We're fairly briefed on this, so thank you. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Next is our CEO General Manager report. Scott, give a report, please.
On behalf of John, yes. A few things. From Governmental Relations and External Affairs, Jeff Carlstrom and Brenda White met with Late Stevens, Mayor, City Administrator, for an introductory meeting. They toured the facility, said it was a good meeting, even discussed some ideas for some future collaboration. IT, a couple of shout outs. Chris Bridge, who is our Senior Manager for Data and Analytics, was honored as a 2024 leader by the Utility Analytics Institute for his contributions and thought leadership in the field of utility analytics. Be cool. Bob Wonder, who's a manager of our ITS ops work, was selected to participate in 2025 Operational Technology Defender Fellowship. Recognizes some expertise and commitments that he's made in cybersecurity. The program is funded by the DOE. So congrats to those two talented folks. CorpCom, Taylor Ostrander, someone you all have probably seen, attended a recent utilities change conference for sponsored by the Southwest Gas Organization and presented our Connect Up project as a successful organizational change management business case. It's an opportunity to brag on the program a little bit. We've got a team of folks working on our 2024 RP3 designation. That's the reliable public power provider that's going to be led by Gene Harshbarger and Aaron Swaney. We had diamond status a couple of years ago. We're shooting for platinum status this time around. We're hoping to hear back in the fall. We had final drawing for our 75th anniversary. We had about 23,000 entries during the campaign. Last drawing was a $750 bill credit, which I think John notified the person a few days ago. And then just a last reminder that it is Public Power Week. It's typically the first full week in October, and Public Power Utilities Celebration across the country. Just celebrating a lot of benefits, public power, and stakeholder and community engagement. So that is John's report.
Thank you.
You have any questions for Scott?
Well, I guess in terms of just general, John would report on this if it had happened. I think I asked the question like maybe Sunday at 7 p.m. I sent it to Allison. We have volunteer crews for the storms, and now another day. They had enough, I guess, they had enough people to, they didn't need to take
it. Yeah, so Aaron and
but
Mark.
But now there's a second storm.
Hawkins and others have been on some mutual aid calls with a variety of different folks, mostly,
okay.
You know,
okay.
A lot driven from public power folks. Aaron can correct me if I'm wrong, but we've offered crews. It takes us a good 5 days to get there. We've offered to even fly crews, and folks have got extra trucks that we can use.
Right now, it sounded like, and you told me this earlier, that they're going about as west as Indiana or Missouri right now. And in fact, I think the other day they were saying, you know, they'd love people if they could get there the next day. I will tell you that I was just in Tennessee and Georgia this past weekend for a family get together. And one of the folks that was attending is a lineman with a local cooperative in Tennessee. He said that part of the challenge right now is that getting the actual crews into the areas that they need to work is very difficult. And if you drive around Knoxville and Chattanooga in East Tennessee and North Georgia, you'll see, I was telling Aaron Mark this earlier, you'll see hotels like a Holiday Inn Express outside of Knoxville. They have shut the whole entire place down, and it's full of linemen and line trucks lined up all the way around the parking lot. They're waiting to be dispatched in, but they don't really have a place to stage in yet. So, you know, we just talked about it before we walked in here. I think we'd be willing to send some, but right now it's probably just not making logical sense just yet.
It's just the fact that we offer templates.
Yeah, for sure. Aaron, you're welcome to add anything if you need to. So we stand ready to help, as always, but right now it's not making practical sense yet.
I have a question or comment. I'm a native from North Carolina, and I have two brothers who are on the coast. Strangely enough, this hurricane went through the Piedmont in the western side.
Yeah.
And I was reading about how treacherous the terrain is to get the equipment in.
Right.
And my brothers who live on the coast, they're having lots of flooding. And now we have a new hurricane moving in. What's his name? Herman or something.
Milton.
And, you know, it's just, I think I mentioned before, my family lost everything in a hurricane when I was 12 years old on the coast. But this was very different, and it's just horrible. It's so many people. We didn't lose any lives when we were on the coast because we knew about 4 days ahead to move, to get out, to get off the island. But I don't know, a lot of people weren't able to get out, or they just, they had no way to anticipate how really bad it was.
Yeah, well, not to go as deeper as light as you want, but one of the things to keep in mind, the storm came into the coast, and originally it was projected to go along the west side of the Smoky Mountains, and it changed course pretty suddenly after it came on shore in Florida and went along the east side of the Smoky Mountains. And so that was part one. And part two was it dumped an extraordinary amount of water in that area, which can have some light flooding, but not intense flooding. So it's just a very unusual storm.
I heard Tom Tillis, who's from North Carolina, say, in kind of in defense of some of the criticisms of our administration and FEMA, there's no way we could have been better prepared for this because it just would have been impossible.
We're prepared for 30 inches of rain in 24 right. hours.
100-year tornado, I mean, hurricane.
Yeah. Any other questions on that report? My only question was, you mentioned that staff and John met with Lake Stevens officials and toured, but I didn't catch the facility they toured.
Oh, the water facility over Lake
Stevens. Oh, by ours.
Yeah.
I understand. Okay, I understand. Thank you. Makes sense. Okay. Next, move on to item 9, commission business. 9A, commission reports. Any reports, commissioners?
Well, I think, I know Tony and I attended PPC on the 2nd, 3rd, and PNUT on the 4th last week, right?
I did PPC, but I didn't. PNUT doesn't provide it, so
I did PPC on the 2nd, 3rd, and PNUT on the 4th. So
yes, I did too.
Very interesting.
Good. 9B, Commissioner Event's calendar. Are there any changes to the Commissioner Event's calendar?
No. All Commissioner Events, no.
Next, we have item 9C, our August 24, 2024 district dashboard. It's on page 376 of our packet. Any questions about the dashboard, commissioners?
No, you have none. I have none this time.
Just a comment, I'm still impressed at how people are using our digital platform. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Okay, next we have item 9D, our 2024 Treasury Budget and Project Status Report for August. We have Andrea here to answer any questions. Baldwin report. Any questions? The report starts on page 379 of the packet. Well, I'll make a comment when you guys are looking. You know, I imagine this takes some time to put together, but I really appreciate having this report. I appreciate having projections. I think those are really valuable. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Thank you.
Okay. You're off the hook, Andrea. Next, we'll move to item 10, our governance planning calendar. Are there any changes to the governance planning calendar?
You identified something this morning.
The AI. Yeah. The AI.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else to add to it? Okay. Is there any further business to come before the board today? Hearing none, it is 2:36 p.m. and our meeting's adjourned.